bum bum ba da do diddle ya do dum bum ba dee ra dum dee da 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 la da ya do da 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 do diddle ya do dum ba do 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 bum bum. It's springtime. Thank you all for living long enough to be here on this such special occasion. Let us welcome the great, the one and only Caroline Casey.
Oh, Brother Grimes, that was a great introduction. And it was great because I had my bag on, and then I put it down and relaxed, and then I put my bag. There we go. No, perfect, wonderful, wonderful. So we are lucky to be gathered here when so much is being proffered to us that we want to step up to and animate. There's a great ancestor who used to live here, Jay Arnell, who would, before every session, he taught me to say, you know, free us from ego magic and fill us with a healing spirit, that we may name with our head, our heart, and our instinct all that needs named for everyone's greater health, happiness, and contribution to the team. It's a powerful time of dedicating. So, you know, all around, I mean, the news, the mythic news, everything. So on our way here, you know, we hear about the island, the tiny, low island of Vanuatu that was just struck by hurricane. 12 people, only 12 people died, but all the gardens are gone. There will be no food there for 3 months. So, again, it requires this rising of compassionate concern and well-being that we transform all armies into first responders of ingenious art. You know, again, we're throwing things into the cauldron this night, but ladling out the desirable animation. Neptune is dreams, vision. We're all in this co-dreaming this dream together. And, you know, when Darwin was working on theory of evolution, or predator-prey, he knew that something was missing, which was altruism. And that's what Neptune represents, going, oh, we're all in this dream together. So welcome, fellow nomads, those seeking homes, those finding homes, those all of us peripatetic beings right now at this time that we are so lucky to be incarnationally coinciding. And I want to say also, in coat-nationally coinciding, I want to demonstrate this coat to you because it is alive. I just want you to be able to see this. It's got a story. Not paid for either. But the coat was like, come on, I'll take you on tour, Equinox tour, and in these little baskets here, you can magnetize money for the family in Afghanistan that wove this 80 years ago and keeps weaving. So handmade. So we're all following little scavenger hunt clues, you know, right now, and the field of serendipitous synchronicity is being proffered to us, so we'll be churlish to refuse. So met wonderful woman, again, just on street. You're very colorful. We must know each other. And it is 60s resonance rising, going, oh, in its pure form, like, hello, ally in a glance. So we were like, I know you. It's a memory of the future. So this wonderful woman, Abigail, who, and I don't know how old she is, but a little, maybe older a little bit than me, but medium recently, she entered an Afghani store and met a master tabla player, Masood Farood, and began studying tabla, and she is now really a master. And they perform, they practice 5 hours a day. They performed at the Bangladeshi thing, and these are incredibly complex rhythms, right? Again, Afghanistan into India, 13 beats and so on, you know, and I've watched her practice, in which it's like, and then come back in, and the crowd goes wild, going, oh, she did it. So she told me that her adventure started when she went to Zamani store, and so I thought, I need an adventure, I need a threshold, I go, and so this lovely Afghani man goes, yes, come in, and we immediately have this conversation about handmade in Afghanistan, and recently I've become friends with him and his family, and I mean, all kinds of things. So there was a large gathering of Afghani woman poet and Afghani musicians. Again, where there's Mars in the world, let there be Venus. And there was a wonderful Afghani musician from London who was there who said, I so love what the Zamanis are doing, keeping the beauty and heritage of Afghanistan alive as ambassadorial. And I said, wouldn't it be great to have a concert of the musicians of all the countries that America has bombed? And he goes, there is no hall vast enough. And I go, right. And we'd have to have extra rooms for future, you know. It's like one of the better bumper stickers I saw. It was under the Bush regime, but still it applies, you know, be nice to America or we'll bring democracy to your country. So we want more bon mots, again, saying a lot, going, oh, very good. Again, ally in a glance. So I happened upon this coat, and I'm like, Maha. And he goes, oh, throughout the years, I've seen, you know, again, we're in the Arabian Nights already, I've seen so many people try this coat on, but that coat loves you. This coat was made for you. And I go, no, oh, I'm a Libra. I completely go that way. There's many things that, you know, that's right, that we sell the cow for magic beans. We absolutely, going, many things, fire hazards in the house, but no, the coat is first. So it is an extraordinary. It's got 42 whales on it, 42 whales coming out of flowers embroidered in Afghanistan 80 years ago. Whales, Afghanistan 80 years ago, and the amount of care and work in this Suzani means fine stitch is extraordinary. The power of these women Venusian artists going whoa. So he was like, no, you take it. You know, I go, I can't pay. He goes, you take it now. I know you will pay me later. And I go, all right, so here it is. It's the Coates tour. But what do you think? It goes, yes. It's alive. I mean, it is alive. You know, when we find, you know, dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world. You know, that everything that is beautiful, you can feel the field around it, like, and so it was like, I'm mine. We're going on the road. Here we go. It's the equinox and the eclipse. And it says, yes, I want to be ceremonial robes. But that idea also of, as Martine Prechtel says, you know, to feed the indigenous soul, you know, have around you handmade things that you know who made them, because they have stories and they embrace you. It's the antidote to kind of cutting DNA and GMO. You have the story heritage around you. So we all, you know, want that, absolutely. So, yes, and we say, again, where there's Mars, let there be Venus. Where there's bombs, let us be the balm, B-A-L-M. Again, we're transforming. This is a night and a season of high alchemy. You know, into the cauldron goes bombs, and out of it goes B-A-L-M, bombs. May we be the balm. You know, so it is powerful. Cooperators are indeed standing by. There's so much going on in the sky story. Let me introduce some of the beings. But we're in this big mix now. Again, you know, it was an eclipse, you know, visible in many places of the world, Svalbard, Norway, and around, circling around Greenland, that are of special peril import communicating to us, because they're melting so fast. You know, Greenland is melting 60 times faster than the worst case scientific scenario. We go, oh, we're really in it now. And the eclipse was going, notice this, humans. But the eclipse was at 29 degrees Pisces plus, the very last degree of the zodiac. And then right after that, we have the vernal equinox, where the sun enters Aries, the first degree of the zodiac. So it's so powerful. But it says Pisces represents, you know, many things. It is the dream world, the myth world, the fairy tale world, the world of poetry, all of that. And it says, remember, as we embark on this adventure, you know, each person and each culture pack with them anything that has ever drawn forth the best of humans into an aspiring unity of willing collaboration with the rest of all the critters on this planet. So we want to pack that. The eclipse also, you know, some people go, at last, it's the end of the Piscean Age. This'll do. We can hang mythologies on, you know, almost anything. We go, sure, why not? And if it's not true, let's make it true. But it is, again, so the Piscean nature of now whispers in each person's ear and says, we have come here for a reason, you know, and it says, imagine that the deepest, most soulful, most shamed, most exiled, most most beautiful part of each one of us is about to be completely welcome culturally in the memesphere. And it's like, oh, yes, yes, feel free to go. Yes, yes. The crowd of one goes wild. It's fantastic. It'll do. All right. So, just because we're here to do, you know, magic together, a willingness. You know, I like to say, you know, we can be depressed on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. You go, I should have left a half hour ago. But on the other hand, there is also, we throw that into the cauldron, there is the great power throughout time of good-hearted people gathering. That the purpose of ritual magic was always to, with dedicated hearts, to spiral into group human mind that we call the memesphere, expanded tolerance, wisdom, ingenuity. So it's plausible to do that. Are we willing to do magic together in an act of, yes, we are, in an act of reciprocal blessing? Why not? And the backstage gods go, look, they've hoisted their hands of willingness. That's very wonderful and good. So the Suzanne Coat is magnetizing. If you want to give a donation to, I said to Timur Zamani, I said, how can I tell the people without crossing my fingers that this money really will go to that family? And they go, oh, it's good. And you know, in a way, but they are truly, and I have their business cards here, they are truly dedicated to keeping the beauty of Afghanistan and saying, you know, people only know nothing really, or kind of, you know, or beleaguered, but this rich, rich ancient culture, I mean, it is the birthplace of Rumi, you know, and it's always been called the soul of Asia. What happens in Afghanistan is what happens throughout that whole realm, you know, sacred. And when the Bamiyan Buddhas were blown up by the Taliban, you know, we say, ha, grief, grief, and may the invisible, dedicated, mojo, powerful, beautiful blessing embodied in those Buddhas be dispersed into the world by the destruction of their form, that they're free. They're free. And we go, all right. And as we see, you know, weirdly called ISIS, you know, in America, but really it's Daesh, you know, destroying the winged bull of Assyria, destroying the war on art, uninitiated Mars after Venus, we go, oh, may it be that those mythological beings are set free. You know, how can we, you know, play with this? So it is powerful. Okay, so it's eclipse, and all metaphors, you know, invite us to animate them. What would we like to have eclipsed by what? And, you know, how many people here have been in a total eclipse? Right. Woo, eclipsophiles. Well, I don't know if this is just me, one of the secrets is that it is quite orgasmic. It's sort of like, I mean, people, even the kind of most grown-up scientists are like, oh my God, oh, whoa, and it brings you to your knees, the perfection and symmetry of, you know, that we live on the only planet known where the sun and moon are the same size, like, whoa, and the winds come up, and it's like, whoa. So the metaphor is, you know, a good ways out, you know, weeks out from an eclipse, you know, it gets spooky in a primeval way, like the dark is rising and whoa. But then when it's total eclipse, you know, as it is today, metaphorically, kind of literally, availably, you know, as our eyes get accustomed to the dark, the stars come out. And so the model is we can see possibilities we couldn't see on this fresh new moon. And so let's set forth with that. So we know, you know, the abundance of riches. So eclipse, new moon, new start, sun in Aries, which is the incarnation of Mars. How do we re-magnetize the desirable aspect of Mars? It is Venus that initiates Mars. And in mythology, Venus and Mars, when they have a courtship, as they've just done in the sky, you know, in the west after sunset, they have a daughter, Harmonia. Harmonia comes from the respectful, equal dance of Mars and Venus within us all and within the world. And we can animate tonight, you know, Harmonia in many ways. You know, there's Vajrayogini, there's, you know, again, customized with all the animals and plants that you love. And part of the charm of this coat is at the very, very end of the Arabian Nights, when Scheherazade, having married the sociopathic dingbat Shahryar and transformed him through the power of storytelling, into like, oh, I was a dingbat, you know, and they get truly married, she wears a coat, you know, know, embroidered with all the plants, all the flora and fauna of this planet. So once again, the king must wed the earth itself over and over again. You know, in the Arthurian legends, you know, the king must wed the land. That is the solution. So we go, ah, excellent. So we know also, many of us, you know, that the large outer planets, or even large by energetic symbolism in Pluto's case, if not by mass, the outer planets represent huge forces of nature's evolutionary intelligence, and they're the keepers of the whole big frame story in which we're all navigating. And we go, and they have some suggestions about what qualities do we most want to cultivate to navigate this wild, wild time. So we honor Neptune, dreams and vision in Pisces, going, okay, welcome back. You know, and it's also, Neptune is the invisible foggy tendrils that actually guide the molecules of visibility in culture, going, so we go, we can feel a shift. We can't see it, but we can feel it. The other big guys, Pluto, death, rebirth, intensity, and Capricorn structure of world, whoa, it is their seventh of seven squares this week. Pluto squares Uranus, trickster, ingenuity, take all the old and transform into the new. What's going down, dominance, and and what's coming up is ingenious willingness to collaborate with everything, a culture of reverent renaissance. So I'll say this astrologically because it's so beautiful. And my head would fall off if I didn't, but I'll attempt to translate it. So Pluto, straight down right now, hi there, Pluto, death, rebirth, is squaring Uranus, trickster, right on the western horizon. I think that's okay. And with the moon and Mars and Venus. So there they are. And then, so Pluto squares Uranus, the trickster, but Uranus trines, greased lightning, Jupiter straight up overhead, god of blessing and stories and the power of stories. And it's as though the backstage gods have said, yes, it is bumpy. It is a wild death and rebirth time. You know, Pluto and Capricorn says dominance is going down, but taking so much life with it. You know, but so the gods backstage, or whatever metaphor we want to use, you know, say, we got to either kill the humans or heal them, all right? Let's try healing them first. So let's play to their strong suit of the power of story and blessing. Jupiter, god of blessing and stories and intelligence and games and luck. You know, and let's have it trine Uranus, the two biggest path openers in greased lightning accord, so that as these humans have dedication, then when they step out the door, you know, they are connected to the right story, the right person, the right conversation. Let's increase that field as a theme throughout this particular spring. Go, okay, we're available for this. And there's, you know, many, many great, you know, animations that we want to bring into play. So we have double cauldron metaphor, you know, eclipse cauldron. What do we want to be eclipsed by what? And then Pluto, death, rebirth. What do we want to throw into this cauldron? Blah, 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 blah. And then coyote, really, the coyote part of all of us has a ladle who ladles out, you know, blessings and spirals them into the bemisphere. So as we journey together, you know, think of things that one wants to compost. You know, bold, creative, interesting things, personal things, cultural things. I like with a group like this, you know, let's see if we're in accord. And, you know, to throw into the cauldron the addiction to having an enemy. Is that way? Can we do that? You know, and may it be that our language, you know, match our dedication, our language and our metaphor. Let our metaphors be derived from nature rather than machines. You know, it's Sir Herbert Reed who says only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. And we go, ah. And one of those, do you remember that beautiful, beautiful article we read in The Guardian about the rewilding of language and how language is our intimate connection, you know, to the natural world? And there is a dangerous loss now in the latest editions of the dictionary. Well, I can't remember. They've taken out very important natural things and put in, you know, email and
things like moss and ferns. And someone said if they take out acorn, England is gone.
So So again, the reestablishing of, you know, intimacy with the world. Language grants us, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can describe it, we can go there. You know, and astrology is one of the most, you know, dist, but also exquisite languages of the interrelatedness of everything, of our own personal psyche and the world. How each planet represents a living intelligence that resides within each one of us and connects it in that resonant field to that out there. So as we speak this language, whether you know it or not, you know, each part of the council, the inner democracy of each one of us goes, hello, that the inner gods, they like being talked about and to, hello. Remember the power of Venus, so strong right now, you know, emerging and so bright, you know, we'll get to see her for the next 8 months, like, whoa, you know, the power of Venus is to call in, to magnetize. If we don't know what to do, that's fine. We call in Pluto power. And Venus is on her way at the beginning of spring to trine Pluto again, another Earth kind of. So it says, you know, call in the power. Pluto is death, rebirth, power. So again, for 25,000 years, we know that humans have performed this kind of theater at now time. You know, oh, come on in, literal and symbolic light of sun, and illumine this painting, this poem at the back of the cave. This is the story we want to animate. So our job, the purpose of art really is to invite power in and then offer it a template. So this is, you know, kind of crucial strategy. But also, you know, Neptune has recently been at the degree of, you know, a girl with a bugle calling in a new tide of cultural energy. And so we go, all that's been exiled, that is of great beauty, you know, come on back. In all of the mythologies, you know, that they don't really end. The Grail legend doesn't end. It gets put on pause. And we want to hit play because of what passes for the end, you know, in the Grail legend especially, it was an experiment of positive Mars, of a round table comprised of shining, radiant, equal hero guys dedicated to protecting life and to bring spiritual heart into actual political governance was the mythological experiment. But at the what passes for the end, all the really hip spiritual people go away. You know, Arthur goes away to take Pilates classes in the underworld with the priestesses, and Merlin goes away with a hot fairy chick. You know, but it's said that Arthur didn't die. Again, he went there. You know, but he awaits the world's call at a time of dire necessity for positive yang to come dance equally with positive yin. And we go, now would be really good. Calling in all exile, positive yang. And that's also High John the Conqueror of the South, the great trickster redeemer, again, who, like Scheherazade, you know, liberates even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. And he does not go away. He goes to reside in High John the Conqueror route. You can get it at Lucky Mojo. You know, to await the world's call. And again, we go, now, this is really good. Now is the time to do that. The idea of calling in, you know, we live in this marvelous time right now where so much is going down, but so much creativity, it's neck and neck. So the idea of spiraling, of making collaborative ventures with one's enemies, really important. There's a great news show called Vice on HBO, and I think it was 3 weeks ago, they did a show on how grown-ups, not new age doctors, grown-ups at the Mayo Clinic and other distinguished places had found that one of the best treatments for cancer was viruses. With a slight Venusian adaptation, the measles virus, the cold virus, the herpes virus, and the HIV virus was the most effective at completely removing cancer, even metastasized cancer from people's bodies. We go, whoa, there was an underworld, you know, kind of week of feeling, whoa. And then a number of these people who had been kind of written off, you know, all the cancer was gone. We go, oh, poisonous allies, poisonous allies. You know, since ISIS has been fed to us, you know, we go, oh, yeah. But we're meant to, you know, ISIS is the goddess of nature. But since we're directed to that powerful mythology, one part of it is there comes a terrible crisis in Egyptian mythology that the horses of the sun have broken loose and they're running with the sun and the earth is going to be burned up, you know, and no one can stop them. No one can stop them. And there's Set, the god of the underworld, who is bad and always trying to kill Osiris and really up to no good. And finally, he's the only one they can go to. So they go, oh, Set, can you save the world? And he's like, sure, no problem. Okay. And saves the world. So we go, when we're in this mix, we are willing to collaborate. We are willing to collaborate. Whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So we want to critique, but we also want to move our emotional default setting to woof, woof, want to play. You know, and each person here, again, by their dedication, be magnetized as a diaspora to go out into the world, woof, woof, want to play. And I do love the Neptune analysis late great astrologer Jim Lewis gave me eons ago about the Odyssey. When Ulysses is sailing for home, he keeps getting swept off course into these, you know, strange, delusional Circe's Island, all kinds of things. And he's like, why? Why? So finally, Tiresias, the blind prophet from the underworld, a kind of Pluto figure, comes up and explains it to him and says, you offended Neptune. You know, you blinded his son, the Cyclops. And so here's what you've got to do. You have to take a symbol of the sea and walk it inland to where nobody's ever seen the sea before. And there you must build a temple to the god who has been oppressing you. So Ulysses takes an oar and Mark, you know, and it's Greece. You've got to walk pretty far before people haven't seen the sea. And somebody goes, is that a piece of a windmill? And he goes, this is the place. And so he does. He builds a temple to Neptune, the god who's been oppressing him, and it works. Again, Neptune dreams, vision, water, reversal magic. And Neptune becomes his ally, sends him sweet winds, and he sails for home. Now, it's a beautiful wondering. Neptune just wants us to wonder. Neptune's called the highest octave, the higher octave of Venus. Venus invites and magnetizes. Neptune, wonder. Wonder itself is magnetizing. You know, it turns our body, just the mudra, into, you know, beseeching chalice of invitational inquiry. We're wondering. We're wondering. You might even do that if you can do it without bonking your neighbor just for the fun of it, just because it feels good. Yeah, we're wondering. We're wondering. Because we're turning our bodies into a cauldron, then, a receptive, magnetizing cauldron, that's good, into which the lightning of Uranus insight can come, like, I wonder what the, whoa! That's part of the dynamic kind of available, so that's a good mudra, yay, good team. But they've also, so the idea of, you know, poisonous allies is so intriguing that it's just a question of dosage and relationship. Venus knows that we can be in harmonia, with everything in the world and in our lives if we're in the right angle of relationship to it. You know, again, stealthy, wise, creatively suspicious, informed, but spiraling. Spiraling is nature's way of resolving conflict, not... again, Jupiter, things you've all heard me say, but let's bring them alive this night. You know, it's John Michael Greer says, if you want people to get nothing happening but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something. You will only get conflict which is hot in a hot world. You know, what two needs is three, which is the inviting in of the all-encompassing, irresistible, magnetizing story. We're all in this thing together. Who brought what? And inviting the best out of everybody. And if that doesn't want to happen, you know, we also turn to the ancient mythologies about when, you know, Hyper-Yang Mars death frenzy was out of control. What did the gods do? They sentenced Hercules when he was going, and I won't clean my room either. You know, they sentenced him to go to the underworld and learn knitting and weaving, you know, to weave back the fabric of creation that he'd been tearing asunder. And we go, yeah, so, you know, let's see Dick Cheney in the underworld knitting tea cozies, you know, because we're all in favor of imaginative sentencing, I think. I mean, because the part of the hot reaction thing, too, is retribution, vengeance, you know, and so it is incumbent upon us to spiral into hot, hot, reactive parts of the world, you know, the balm, the cool waters of expanded repertoire of responses. You know, in Israel, there are Palestinian Israeli women waging peace, you know, and we go, ooh, you know, it's thousands, but we support all that is good all over, especially in these hot places. But we want to throw, reaction into the cauldron, because to react to anything is not free. You know, just, it's to carry around a portable prison for ourselves and for others, but to ladle out responses, you know, and to have an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. And we go, so we're ladling out, you know, responses so that we're first responders and out into the world. And Uranus, trickster, again, says, we are big gods. We don't really care what you humans do. We care the manner in which you do it, that you do it from freedom and choice. You know, so again, freedom and choice, you know, so something comes along and you go, I could get really mad at this person, or I could spiral and dance with them, and I choose to get mad. And we go, it's better. That's better. Again, it's a considering. Con is with, sittering's the stars. It's a considering. I just wanted to also, you know, bring in things that are bubbling up about ingenious collaboration. Today, a science report out of Australia, again credible, says new Alzheimer's treatments, therapeutic ultrasound, beams sound waves, and gently opens up the borders of the brain to allow, you know, positive, the microglial cells, to allow these wonderful parts of the body to go into the brain and remove the waste and able to clear out toxic beta amyloid clumps, fully restoring the memories of 75% of the mice. Okay, it's mice so far, but, you know, I'm so glad the mice are like, God, I know what I came into the room to get. Okay, then, God, you know, so go, little mice team. So, you know, part of the idea of responding also is that so that we are willing to assume cultural narrative lead. Again, so that we're not just reacting like, oh, my God, that's horrible. Oh, my God, that's horrible. Oh, my God, that's horrible. You know, and as we get to, you know, there are occasionally good things that go on. And, you know, and I do spend, you know, maybe too much time on Facebook. But whenever you post something positive or something good that Obama did, you know, you go, oh, wait for it. 5 seconds, 5 seconds. Somebody go, yeah, but did you hear about the NDAA or the tree? You know, the bad, you know, trade pact, you know, and all of it's nothing. And we go, oh, team. We go, yes, discourage the bad and be fully informed and encourage the good. You know, and let's put, I want to put snark into the cauldron because it's a very gummy fuel, a Mars fuel on which to run. You know, what is the symbolic fuel that we run on as well as the literal fossil fuels that we must leave? What's the emotional equivalent of that? And I go, snark is very gummy, you know. You know, I go, oh, you can, and we go, right, as you know, but we can all be clearly informed without being condescending and you know, snark about that. So that's why each one of you have, you know, under your chair an invisible little harumphitude composter to take with you, because it's so effective. Because communication is really only effective after we've composted harumphitude, going, what a dingbat, what good. Did you know that Greenland's melting? No, I didn't. Because people don't mind being asked, did you know, unless it's with, you probably don't know that, do you? Because we want to tease, again, authentic democracy into every molecule of our way of responding. Because Uranus and Pluto, seven of seven squares, but resonant for a long time, of course. But it's 1964 to 69 that they are conjoined, you know, in Virgo, which Jupiter will activate in Virgo in the fall. Well, okay, here comes the 60s. But it was the planting of the seed, kind of like a new moon. And then the square is like, all right, the next refinement, what are we going to do with it? How do we get these things to dance together? Huge evolutionary opportunity, you know, for massive change of consciousness, nothing short of which is will do, really. But it's Pluto square, Uranus trine Jupiter. Opportunity. We are lucky. You know, and luck increases. It has been proved by Cambridge University. Luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. Oh, look, I just found this thing. Let me buy you this thing. No, it's working. You know, funding, you know. So it is a huge evolutionary opportunity. So we want to, these planets represent also huge, what's called transits to our collective and also to each person here that are radically deconditioning. You know, so it's like, whoa. So it's about, you know, 20 gazillion years of spiritual psychotherapy and burning away everything unnecessary in about, you know, kind of a week, like, so it's an accelerated process, but we're willing to cast off, you know, and to work with it metaphorically, which is so powerful. So, you know, two words also just to take the equal dance of Mars and Venus. Venus magnetizes and Mars animates. You know, again, this magnetize, invite it in, and then animate. Invite in the power, like, and lure it in with beauty, you know, and then animate it with all the things we've done or studied in all of our lives and all the animals that we love, particularly in the plants or the whatever affinity and the philosophies and whatever, you know, pragmatic mysticism time to apply that. So inviting in, you know, cooperators are standing by, they say, you know, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, which is the opposite of snark. See, snark is like, you know, as opposed to, I wonder how to dance with this most effectively. Okay. And how to be an agent of liberation to everyone. You know, Uranus looks like an H with a circle drop below it, so it looks like an archaic jail key. You know, so it is the Hafez, the small man builds prisons for everyone he meets. But the wise woman in all of us, regardless of gender, ducks under the moon and tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners. And this becomes, you know, if we want, you know, part of each person's secret middle name, sort of say your name, you know, mutter it to yourself, like, Jane tosses keys to the beautiful and prisoners, Smith. You know, an undercover identity is good because it also alleviates we want to compost the Piscean, no longer necessary, tragic, romantic melancholy, you know, which was amusing for a couple centuries, but we can't afford it now. The victim martyr thing, you know, but shadows of all parts of the language, all of our shadows are drawn to the surface, which is why a political consultant friend of mine, wonderful Pat Ewing, says, as we see just unbelievable, ignorant, you know, loathsome, you know, revolting aspects of humanity revealed, you go, thank you for revealing yourself in the cartoon so amazingly. You know, it's like young whippersnapper, you know, caught in the 47, not Ronin, okay, there's a great movie, 47 Ronin, but the 47, you know, cuckoo senators, but Cotton, you know, it's not, you know, satire, always pretty close, but he went on an interview show and he goes, we've got to stop Iran, they've already taken over Tehran. And we go, oh my God, he said that, he went to Harvard, it means nothing, oh my God. Anyway, but so it's like, thank you so much for, you know, playing that horrible role in the thing, that's amazing. But I do want to.
Is Tehran the capital of Alabama?
No, they banned that in the last election. That's right. Yes, absolutely. And so I want to now just invoke also our recently departed ally Terry Pratchett. How many people here are familiar with Terry Pratchett's works? Oh my goodness! Oh, how interesting. Well, it speaks well of the memesphere that Terry Pratchett sold 65 million books, and was knighted, and that of its own doesn't. But when you realize what he was doing, he was a Taurus, 7-degree Taurus guy, Mercury and Taurus, very important degrees. Taurus, incarnation of Venus. Taurus, keeper of the truth of animism. Everything's alive. And it's a great way to live. It's this call and response. We so love that synchronicity when we go, hello, hello, hello. And we go, oh, we love that. I mean, sometimes we go, hello, and it's, you know, dropping a penny down a long well. It's like, oh, are we really that just pathetic weenies in a vast, uncaring universe? And then they go, no, just kidding. Ah, you know, So to Terry Pratchett, you know, who animated everything, I mean, everything, a whimper escaped his lips, glad to be free. I mean, but everything, the luggage has legs and it's a character. I mean, everything, just a mad sense of multiverse whimsy and powerful things for which I'm grateful. It is from him that I learned the wonderful Gaelic term, the Celtic term, to dreear weird. It means to play your role in destiny. I go, thank you, Terry, for that, you know, passing that on. And may we all be people who take old traditions with which we have an affinity and bring them alive again through fresh, experimental, you know, spiraling forth into the world, which he really did. So there's also, he made death a lovable character, speaking all in caps. But perhaps one of the most pertinent, if you're going to dive in now, because he wrote 70 books from 1983 until now, but his favorite book, which was written when he'd already had an Alzheimer's-like diagnosis, it is his favorite book and mine of his, and so pertinent to now, it's called I Shall Wear Midnight. And it's so potent. It begins with this wonderful, wonderful, he's got such a great, witty and profound, you know, understanding of true witchcraft and witch kitsch. But it begins with the wonderful Tiffany Aiken, the young, responsible 15-year-old witch, and she's helping the old patriarch to die. And it's very pertinent. We're helping something die. And so she is taking the pain away. But here's, again, where we compost the Piscean martyrdom thing. As she says, balance. The first thing she learned in witchcraft was balance, how to let the pain flow through you, not into you. The center of the seesaw is neither up nor down, but upness and downness flow through it. I go, ah. So wonderful. And then it's a theme of what he calls the cunning man, the collective mob mind. We do want to address the shadow because there's much that is really going on, but he really takes that on about how do we deal with the mob mind and when does it possess us? There are things, you know, in the memesphere that if we're vulnerable, and all of us are, you know, we say, I don't know what got into me. I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that thing. You know, I don't know. So it's, you know, possessed, and especially vulnerable or thin membrane people are available. So she takes that, you know, on about how do we dissipate mob mind, the cunning mind, which is so important. And part of it also is the wonderful, his wonderful character, Granny Weatherwax. When told, you know, you can't do that good thing, you know, it's impossible, 1,000,000 to 1 odds are against you, she smiles a smile that would have frozen wolves in their tracks and goes, 1,000,000 to 1 chance crop up 9 times out of 10 when your heart is dedicated. So buzz off. We go. We love that. You know, and then I just wanted to, you know, just bring in Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State, as also still breathing, like my favorite actor, really. But in which he says, even a bad hand can win the pot. You know, again, it's ingenuity. It's ingenuity. Enemy of the State, a great movie. So Pluto Square Uranus, you know, says again, it proffers provocative precepts, which is to be snookered into polarity is to be inadvertently obedient to the reality police and the overlords and the dementors of doom. So we go, right, let us invite in, you know, going, make our vows, going, keep me from being, you know, teased or seduced into polarity as a crucial thing. And then there's, you know, a million reports of dire news, but I'm going to skip that because we know it all. We know a lot of that. 70,000 bridges are about to collapse in America. The experts on it say the Tappan Zee is called the hold your breath bridge, going, whoa, infrastructure is coming down. There's so much that needs doing and so much locked and imprisoned in the unimaginative confines of war. We want to unlock that and go over here, first responders to Vanuatu, and here, build infrastructure, all of that. So there, you know, we know much that we want to compost. We know the rising of the warrior cops, the incredible amount of billions of dollars of funding that has gone into three-story tanks for, you know, police things, the training of police for different scenarios, different stories, none of which involve negotiation. You know, and so we go, we have to disrupt that again. We have to disrupt that. You know, again, how would we invite the better parts to, and also define the job? To be police person is to be shaman on the edge of life and death, should be have the most responses of ingenuity, should be most equipped at cooling things out. You know, we want to begin to imagine and invite that, because there are good-hearted people in the most unlikely places everywhere. You know, as we read health reports, I go, you know, reading about, you know, how wonderful fish oil is, or, you know, vitamin D3 if you don't do fish oil. But I like the police coming up going, I noticed from your sort of disturbed state that you must be low on vitamin D, and I happen to have some fish oil here, as well as some ginger and turmeric anti-inflammatory tea. Here. What can I do for you? There you go. Are you breathing better now? Oh, I'm so relieved. That's wonderful. You have a great day. And again, mediating, because cops have these weird psychic experiences. I mean, they're right on the edge, but there's no place for it to go. And again, whatever we speak to in another, you know, is part of what we're inviting to the dance. So negotiating, skillfulness. Again, part of that is asking people their story. I don't know how many of you remember, I think it was 3 years ago, but there was a man who broke into a school, I think it's Alabama, and he was going to shoot all the kids, you know, and there was a black assistant woman, I think principal, I don't know, but she was there, and she just said, you know, here's my story, and what is your... She Scheherazaded. She said, let me tell you my story. Ah, that is your story. Our story is not so dissimilar, these things. And he was like, oh, help me. She said, I'll get you out. You know, again, may we all be agents of cool in an increasingly hot world. So again, may we invite in. We don't have to source these things, but to, again, invite them in. so many things, you know. But again, repentance. We are willing. We don't meet with Snark when the former chief of the Seattle police said I screwed it up royally. You know, I used tear gas on innocent, you know, on nonviolent protesters. I did a terrible thing. And when we, you know, and I repent. We go. We don't go. Yeah, but you were bad then. We go. No, it's good. Very good over there. And he says, you know, when we dress costumes, when we dress cops as soldiers, they get confused. So we want to see Venus loves a wardrobe change. We want to see, you know, cops, you know, because everywhere I go, and even with police people, you know, people go, oh, I wish I could have my hair like that. And I go, you could. You'd leave or change your job. You know, they're like, yeah, that would be good. We are reminded of as many things that is dire. Let us be also reminded that of the power of language, that the word privilege means private law. I mean, that just makes it really clear. So let's throw privilege into the cauldron, private law, and ladle out, we're all in this dream together. And, you know, Rob Fanny, who was the great blogger on climate change, the guest yesterday on the radio, but he's saying, you know, it also is very important in the story that even the status holders, the whatever, you know, everybody, first poor people, but everybody, to make this clear, you know, that we're all living under the levee, you know, again, to amplify that story and invite in, you know, because I, as you know, I mean, I go to CPAC on our behalf, you know, every now and then, not lately, but to find, you know, going, you know, somebody goes, I own the largest privately owned boat in the world, and they go, you must love the ocean, and they're like, I hadn't thought about that, but I do. You know, again, you go, yeah, that part of me has not been spoken to, and you know, think now of what we want to be released from, because you know we'll all be gone tomorrow in a moment. So you know, into the fire, you know, I mean, again, in ourselves too, in which you know sometimes you know it's a Moon and Virgo thing, going, you know, oh, I'm an idiot, but I'm smarter than everybody else. You know, and going. You know, what are they doing there? So you know, any form of, you know, harumphitude, envy, sloth, dread, you know, melancholy used to be thought of as a sign of genius, and we go, okay, everybody can have just as much melancholy as makes you a genius. Just the right amount, but not more than that. And that's why the key metaphor is so good, because, you know, Pisces is like, who will save me, or I'll save them? And we go, no, neither. Just throw them a key. You know, here's a key. You can wear it as a necklace if you want, but I recommend unlocking yourself and passing it on. But my job's done now. You know, over here, I've got more keys to throw. You know, and it's a good way to watch the news too. You know, here's a key. There you go. We'll honor that. So, you know, all of those things that we want to throw into the cauldron. So Terry Pratchett is so great at describing cataclysm and escaping cataclysm, and because he's profound and very funny. It's going to the underworld and escaping cataclysm, and then one of his characters is, they're sailing to the end of the world, and they were running out of world. They were running out of world. And just a little bit, if I can find just a few little quips, we'll see. But he's so good. Huge surges of raw magic boiled uncontrolled around the very foundations of the multiverse itself, you know, working up through every crevice into hitherto peaceful dimensions and causing novas and supernovas and stellar collisions and wild flights of geese and drowning of imaginary continents and worlds as far away at the other end of time, experienced brilliant sensations of coruscating octarine, which is the color of magic. A highly charged magical particles roared through the atmosphere in the, you know, it goes on like that. And we go, well, that's kind of now. You know, at last, thank you. Thank you for waiting, oh great one. Can you regale us with We'll All Be Gone Tomorrow? Because that's the Terry Pratchett setup for the likes of yourself.
At this time when we invite all beings.
How'd you get two? I didn't know we were allowed to have two.
And Mars and Venus, you know, coming together in their wonderful, creative, generative blessing selves and birthing their child Harmonia. Sometimes, darling, even I can't remember which of us is Venus and which of us is Mars.
Oh, very good.
Yes, everything is alive. The world is a dream. I'm wading in the dappled stream. My feet are cold, my hands are clean. There's water dribbling on my chin, as sweet as water's ever been. We'll all be gone tomorrow. Children, take me by the hand. Your laughter is much sweeter than the things which I don't understand. We'll all be gone tomorrow. Friends may come and friends may go. Have you seen their ashes blow out to where the garden grows? We'll all be gone tomorrow. The river runs down to the sea. It runs for you. It runs for me. Oh, bust your dams and let her free. We'll all be gone tomorrow. And if this it were my final hour, your lips I'd place upon my brow, like bees asleep upon the flower. We'll all be gone tomorrow. So raise the glass, my darling dears, for this one night we'll have no fears. Outside, the coast is looking clear, the sea is like a silver mirror. Heaven must be very near, we'll all be gone tomorrow. Children, take us by the hand. Your love is so much deeper than the things which we don't understand. We'll all be gone tomorrow. Yes.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, splendid, Br'er Rabbit Ally Grimes, wonderful. Which brings us again to Venus, inviting in such beauty and poignancy as kinship. And then just as a vulgar aside, I liked a Scorpio friend of mine, and I came up with like sort of like double dare you, like, what if we... Your song reminds me of this. What if we only slept with people we would want at our deathbed? We go, ooh, that really raises the stakes. Because, I mean, if you go through things going, oh, my God, oh no. But it might be fun. It might be fun to remagnetize, you know, going, it's a pretty high standard. It might reduce or increase candidates. We don't really know. So the dance of enemies together, the dance of enemies together, and understanding all things. Another great ancestor, client friend, Nolita Anderson, who was raised from birth. Do you know Nolita? Oh, wow. I didn't know even what a big deal she was. We were quite wonderfully close, but I knew her, you know, her story, and then afterwards I know that it was... so wonderful. So raised from birth as a kahuna in Hawaii, right? Not a weekend workshop. And she said many wonderful things, but she said, we had to learn poison and harm, not to use them, but because in the body of a person or the body of the culture, the killing points are the same as the healing points. The difference is intention. So, you know, we can all feel, you know, we don't know what got into us, where we might have misused power before. But now, this is a potent time. Saturn, dedication god, is stationing its image as an owl on a tree seeing in the dark. Hoot, 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 hoot. And it goes, it's an important time to dedicate. It's squaring Neptune and Pisces, the dream world and the research story world, wanting to commerce together. So it says now is particularly important, especially as we move into this field where we're very rapidly likely to meet our inner life in outer circumstance. Now, the positive part of that is, you know, inner dedication magnetizes outer opportunity, but we do want to embrace the wonderful complexity of complicity. Not shame, not blame, but whatever's going on, we're giving it creative energy to that story. And once we see that, we can inhale back our complicity, our chi, and exhale it, you know, into the more desirable story. But it is assuming Saturn self-responsibility, you know, and it's fun, really. But even, you know, when something happens or somebody behaves badly towards us, we could go, "Now, oh, what a dingbat, what a just, oh my God." But then in the Saturn realm, I go, but I was in a kind of self-chastising mode, you know, and so I attracted scolding from outside. So we go, all right, you know, it doesn't make this person's behavior good, but I do understand the symmetry of the dance in some way. Because once we begin to experiment with that, you know, and when things come along, we go, why would I be, you know, lending creative energy into the cauldron and ladling out a new, better story? And it can happen immediately, even in the midst of a conflict with somebody. You go, wait, backstage, we're in major story rewrite. You're no longer a dingbat, and I'm no longer really angry. Now we're, you know, different roles back on stage. Let's go. You know, and again, part of our imaginative whimsy, you know, again, at a poetry conference, I was, you know, kind of taking on Yahweh. Have it Yahweh. And a rabbi came up and said, I've never been so insulted in all my life. And I go, the evening is young. And he was like, so that was fun. But then a possibly more mature version was a woman came up very angry going, how'd you get it? And I said, okay, right, let's hold hands and jump into a cauldron together and say, if there's anything in either one of us that is not dedicated to greater good, maybe bubbled away. And she was like, are you serious? And I was like, no. But let's do it. And she's like, oh, that is so cool. And again, the repertoire of woof woof wanna play, because the unexpected is liberating. And unexpected language is liberating. If you say I'm an environmental, you know, and acronyms are constraining, you know, it's our beautiful Sarah James, you know, in the Arctic, the Gwich'in people, you know, who says, don't call it ANWR. Don't use acronym, because it will remove intimacy. Take the time to say the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. You know, you've got the time to say that, you know, to weave the intimacy rather than ANWR, you know, because then you're talking, then you're doing the loss of intimacy. She goes, again, if we lose intimacy, you'll destroy it. You know, we would be complicitous, not guilty, not shame, just complicitous. You know, wonderful listener to radio show. I can almost read her name. Yes, here it is. Okay, Kate Hedlund. But she says about complicity, she was going, okay, the 1%. And then she comes to realize, like, oh, as a species, we're the 1%, right? We go, right, of course. We're the 1% on this planet that is hogging, you know, everything. We are the 1%. So I like also, just as an experiment, you know, again, playful, you know, that we also throw into the cauldron, you know, the use of the word they, and especially the use of the word those people. And we ladle out we. We're facing, you know, we're doing this. We're harming the planet. We're gathering together now to do this, you know. Because then you're snookered into polarity, and that can be righteous, and then you're inadvertently serving empire and colonialism no matter what hip label you put on your butt. You know, once it's finger wagging. And also the Uranus dynamic, again, where the gods are so generous to us, you know, Uranus is ingenuity, genius, playful, trickster. You know, it's nature's evolutionary, resilient ingenuity that we call trickster, that we see in many places. But it's a part of us that comes alive at a time of dire beauty, like, you know, that goes against all odds. I love that. You know, so Uranus is all of those things, and also our willingness to partner with genius. You know, Uranus says there's an abundance of genius. There's windfalls of wherewithal. Where would each one of us like to dance with genius? Again, that's why we wonder. We wonder, where would we like? Oh, that's exactly the spot. So the last ideas associated with Uranus are democracy, equality, synchronicity. Synchronicity. And, you know, I, again, it's a pebble I carry with me, too, but no sooner did I wonder that some ways back, going, what do those guys have to do with each other? Then events arrange themselves to be very clear that when we look down or up at somebody, there is no synchronicity. When we deal with each other straight across as equals, which does not mean being nice, but it does mean being respectful. Remember, respect means to look again, look again, look again, look again, until you find something you want to invite to the dance, or else move on. You know, but so if we deal with each other, ally etiquette as equals, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And it's just, I just know this. But I invited, you know, believe nothing, just to go, I wonder if that's, whoa, true. You know, live the story as, you know, live the desirable story. So, you know, we love that ally etiquette, you know, and again, you know, part of our team getting it straight. I had not seen until now the big oops that Greenpeace did, the German Greenpeace did in Peru, right, where they put big letters right next to the Nazca sacred hummingbird, the symbol of the entire country. Big oops, it distracted all the attention from the climate talks, and people are like, oh, and Greenpeace has publicly apologized, and, you know, it's the German part of our team that was like, right, we will show them, we will put big letters under the hummingbird, it'll be fantastic. No. Apparently not. I'm taking medical leave. I'm so depressed because I've been. That's what's happened. So we go, no. Again, is our manner of relating an offering, liberating, magnetizing, you know, or an imposition serves empire? And again, offering or imposition, very useful meter to take around with us, with it next to our Harumphitude composter, for ourselves and for others. Offering, liberating, imposition. You know, and again, just we're all befoibled. We all blow it. I mean, but again, it's our willingness to keep experimenting. You know, that is key, and to keep kind of clarifying as we move into this field again where our inner life, you know, meets outer life. But I think also part of the navigational possibility or precept to bring with us is the oppressor is actually seeking the medicine of what he or she oppresses. Again, you know, England needed the metaphysic of of India. America needs the beauty underneath the Middle East and of Afghanistan and of Turkey and of Iraq where Inanna lives and all of those things. These are cultures of blessing, you know, underneath all of the, you know, hyper-yang death frenzy, uninitiated Mars, you know, destroying the world. But it's all complicit, right? So finger wagging at one horror, you know, goes, yeah, it's all related. It's all related. Well, that's why I'm also, you know, in favor of the imaginative sentencing. Not only imaginative cops going, here, cod liver oil and, you know, turmeric tea, but also, you know, we sentence you to the knitting and weaving in the underworld. We sentence you to 10 years of permaculture. We sentence you to aromatherapy, apprenticing. You know, I mean, again, you know, more, what if our desire to heal was greater than our desire to punish? Oh, good. Yay. So let's put into the cauldron, you know, desire to punish and reaction and retribution, ladle out desire to heal, which is wondering. You know, I wonder what happened to this person to cause them to do this thing, and what was the aromatherapy best to sentence them to the underworld to go do that thing. You know, and also, you know, to bind, we say it is not good for tyrants to get away with tyranny. So we're very often, because we are friends of their soul, we're enemies of their project and personality, because we are friends of their soul. So, you know, again, the power of language as well, you know, is an invocative thing. You know, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and be an occasion for mirth. And then we would say, ashe, ashe, which means, you know, may the word be possible. So, and it's also simple things just, again, to spread around. You know, whatever we do, we get more of that. It's very simple. You know, again, there is no Mars answer to Mars, uninitiated. It is Venus, again, the beauty of the, you know, again, intimacy and language and the irresistible, you know, inviting to the story and the inviting of the goodness. I recently had credit card fraud. The bank called me up and said, did you just charge a very large meal at Popeyes? I'm like, God, no. And they were like, we didn't think so. Because we have cameras in your house. But then I said, I'm just so sorry that criminal ingenuity is so poorly nutritioned. We go, yeah. So may we unlock all the creative ingenuity going into horrible, horrible things, you know. Years ago, it's a spooky, haunting thing. I don't think the person listens to the show, but you never know. I was doing a reading for somebody. I fell into where military guys were coming for readings, and it was like, no, don't look at some of them coming in full dress uniforms. I'm like, no, don't look, just go for the chart. And yes, yes, they are into UFOs, and they secretly meet to, you know, with other people to plan for peace. And okay, good. So interesting everywhere. But one of the people came and was very kind of magnetized, like, oh, hi, who are you? And it became kind of clear. This was quite a while ago, 80s, late 80s. And I go, this thing you're inventing for the army. He goes, imagine you're a little girl lost in the desert, and this drone will find you. And I'm like, no, that's not what you're doing. And he goes, that's how I have to put it. And I go, oh. But he was writing a really, really terrible but very sort of sincere and sentimental New Age novel about, you know, Dakini Girl. You know, and I go, oh, it's, again, completely unintegrated, but it was trying to, you know, Dakini Girl was trying to balance him out, but wasn't really, you know, it's why, you know, military guys date hippie chicks, because, again, outsourcing the Venus thing, though it's true, you know, going, I am Mars, I have Venus, you know, if I have Venus there, then I can keep doing bad things, you know, and so we go, no, we want to everybody get married to yourself, everybody, Venus and Mars dancing together so nobody's hungry, so people can meet as equals, what a good idea, that'd be really good. You know, and again, we can take the wonderful, you know, war imagery and just play with it. You know, that we all have a quiver full of arrows, and we can take them and draw them back. And let's tip them with compassion, with tyranny as their target, going, you know, or, you know, bad thing comes at you, you go, boomerang, boo, boomerang. It's where the curse goes back to the person delivering a lemon meringue pie. You know, you go, boo, no, no. Again, you know, experimenting with everything. We're you know, I'm going on to, you know, Bolinas tomorrow and then in Santa Cruz next weekend. And, you know, mojo from each place, medicine from each place, let us bless and receive, let us magnetize and animate. But so for me, Santa Cruz, many things. But, you know, Philip Slater was a wonderful author who lived there. And he wrote a famous book, The Pursuit of Loneliness, which was too serious for me to read. But he wrote this wonderful novel called How I Saved the World. And it's based out of Santa Cruz, and its character is kind of like us. And it's so charming, and it was remaindered almost immediately. I went around buying all the copies. But it's very, very delightful. It's about, you know, eccentric misfits, right? Okay, astral traveling through the Pentagon to mess things up and change people's hearts. And we go, that is so the way to go. You know, experiment with everything, like pragmatic mysticism, like, all right, let's see, what does this thing do, you know? And again, we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients. You know, we go, you know, and that's why, again, you know, people go, oh, I want, you know, Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail. You know, I go, no. We want them to work so well that they flush all the poison out of him and leave him in a pool of befuddled innocence. You know, again, because we don't want our kidneys to fail. You know, again, what would we wish? What would we wish? So it's also, you know, again, you know, uninitiated Mars. You know, we don't have time for superstitious blood sacrifice distraction from the real work at hand. You know, which is collaborative, ingenious beauty and cooperation and taking care of each other. So all of this creativity bound to unimaginative tyranny and war, let's unlock it wherever we go. Let's toss it keys, going, come on out and play. You know, woof, woof, want to play. And we go, you know, Upton Sinclair's great quote, it is difficult to get a politician, you know, fill in the blank there for many things, to understand something when his job depends on him not understanding it. We go, yes, until now. All right, power of language. Again, something to take in your magic backpacks with you is the power of until now. You know, when we ourselves in our monologue or other people go, a terrible story of woe, you know, and you go, until now, and it's not being some perky Pollyanna kind of thing, you know, although one can get stuck with that, but going, no, until now is just, it's a spellbreaker. You know, it used to be. You know, again, how we frame the story, because the gods are responding increasingly, which is why I feel so ardently enthusiastic and how lucky we are to gather, to clarify these things before it gets even faster and we want to be even slower in our clarity and playfulness. So I'm very fond of a Danish TV series called Borgen, 3 seasons, really great. It's the smartest political thing. It's not hip metaphysical or anything, but it's really great storytelling, so much better than anything America's ever done, about what it means to be a woman prime minister of Denmark in detail so that we can understand the constraints, the prisons that Obama is in, or anybody really, in which you go, oh, but also how to get around that, how you lose your way, how you overconciliate, how you find your way back, but always how you are willing to negotiate, you know, with the better part of what used to be your enemy in some crucial form, again, like Set, like Osiris and Set. You know, and the season ends is really good. But desperate times require courageous solutions about collaborating in unlikely ways. And again, just remembering that whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance. That, again, just a crucial experimental theme. So, two, one of the great medicines you carry, lad, is this wonderful phrase that you coined, you know, the innocent dignity of our child heart. So perhaps you will take us back to the innocent dignity of our child heart.
You're so irresistibly eloquent.
It's the dress. Thank you.
And donations can be placed right there.
The support of Afghani culture.
We invite in the powerful magic that shows up in dangerous times, crisis as opportunity, great opportunity to live out of our heart's desire. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, you're as dreamers do. Fate is kind, she brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
It's true. Yes, everyone, put that in your pipe and smoke it. My dad used to sing that to me, bless his little heart, and I go, oh, go away. Oh, no, I go, it was destiny calling. So it's part of what you've started and primed the pump of that we also want to take, you know, try this at home too, which is beauty poker. And blessing poker. And it comes from, you know, my cahooting with Deborah Felmuth, you know, who lived until recently in Syria and married to Muawiyah, and so many refugees from Syria, again, begins with the drought, begins with climate change. You know, and also, again, not being certain. Certainty is such a booby prize. You know, when Arab Spring was rising up, you know, and I'd spent time with Muawiyah and Deborah in Syria, and such a beautiful handmade culture, everything, Islamu Idain is what you can say every 20 minutes. May the divine bless your hands that have made such beauty. Like, so beautiful. You know, and people come to you and go, anything else, madam? And you respond, Salam Tech, only your peace. And the whole day was embroidered, even under tyranny, but was embroidered using the tyranny to, again, consolidate and the power of the blessing and the wink and the irony. So remembering how beautiful it is underneath and wanting to come back. You know, so Deborah said, you know, it's all, you know, blessings. You know, may it go well for you. May orange blossoms waft across your, you know, and somebody would say, and how is your family? And may it go even more wonderfully for you. May pomegranate blossoms, you know, waft around your head, and hummingbirds, you know, caress your hands and guide you through the woods, or whatever. Just again, priming the pump of the power of blessing, which is an invocation. You know, blessing invites writes power into it, it is the template. You know, may it go, you know, this. And so I see your, you know, I see your blessing and raise you one. But also beauty poker, you know, beauty poker, what if, again, wherever there's Mars, let there be Venus, you know, in which we have, again, the musicians, the poets, the everywhere, again, the Venusian foreign policy. We go, here is a fantastic song from my people. And we go, that's funny. I thought it was our people. But it's like, and here's an even more fantastic piece of beauty from our people. And, oh, that is beautiful. Here's an even more beauty poker. You know, again, find and replace. And that also does mean, again, in our ongoing composting of snark, and discourage the bad and encourage the good over here. No, no, not there. No, may we be like the dog whisperer. May we be politician whispers. No, hey, yeah, good. No, hey, you know, it's again the thing from, you know, conscious parenting, in which they said, you know, you don't say to your, you know, 4-year-old, Susie, please put on your socks because mommy's got to get to work, because your 4-year-old has no prefrontal cortex. You say, we're putting on our socks. Yes, we are. And so in the same way with politicians, because they have no prefrontal cortex either, you go, you don't go, oh, please do this because we're, you know, we're healing the environment. Yes, we are. Yeah, that, this is where it's going. This is where all the action is. This is how it's happening over here. So, I want to address a sensitive subject in California, which is the incredible churlish dissing of Barack Obama. You know, because our team is like, trade agreement, we got drones, and it's terrible, and prosecuting whistleblowers, and we go, that's true. And also, but encouraging the good, this is a, people operate on multiple levels. Again, whatever we speak to another is what we're dancing with the corresponding part of ourselves. And all I know is whenever I've gone to the White House and done a blessing with his chart and gone, you know, may the ancestors place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom around your shoulders, and there's your mom as well, you know, and a council of protective wolves be around you, and there you go. Oh, he's always stepped out, like, within 10 seconds. So, like, right there, like, whoa, okay, you know, to the anti-XL pipeline going, I'm with you, you know. And people even on our team were like, you watch, he's going to approve it. It's like, why would you curse somebody who's trying to cooperate? Yes, bad things, we're all befoiled, and yes, terrible things, and, you know, but this is the good thing. And so in the astro-mythology, you know, I was saying to all the kind of, I mean, imagine the amount of vitriolic death hate threats, you know, I mean, it's like, we would be like, whoa. I mean, we go out and go, somebody was mean to me in the parking lot. And it's like, try 10,000 bleeping death, or just, you die, you create, you just, it will kill your children, we'll just, you know, I mean, really, you know, and it's, I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, getting real in the Whole Food parking lot. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. You know, a little perspective. You know, and again, you know, are we not magicians? Are we not alchemists? You know, does the hand dealt to us, Barack Obama, means bless the good? So even when people are like, Barack Obama, they're still going, bless the good. It's an interesting trick. So in December, I knew that Uranus the trickster was stationing at 12 degrees Aries, whose image is a bomb that fails to go off, defusing tense situations. And I knew that Barack Obama's son, when he's born, S-U-N, is 12 degrees Leo. And I go, no, you watch. Uranus is going to station trining him. Trickster kicks in. Really, we should support this dynamic. And damned if he didn't come alive and go, immigration about this, and marine preservation over there, and, you know, veto the XL. You know, with all that hate.
Cuba.
But wait, where's? Yes, Cuba. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, and the Pope. You know, animals go to heaven, and let's party in Cuba. You know, go, Pope's not looking. I mean, again, the Pope, you could go, it's a terrible child to be. And you go, yeah, but in the mythic role also as well. You know, and we encourage that. But yeah, and so one of the things also that Obama just did, which was genius astrology, because, I mean, I always watch the news with charts and things, you know, and very, very tapped in, you know. And once it was weird, I was at some strange partisan party, and I was watching Obama's press, State of the Union, and I had all the charts out, and somebody sits next to me, and I go, oh, my God, it's Grover Norquist. And it was. And then he just did this strange thing. I don't know what it means, but like some sort of Rumpelstiltskin. He got up, and there was all the astrology charts, and he stepped on them and went, no, it wasn't actually bad, and on his way to the bathroom. And I go, what a curious kind of, like, you know, covering up your poop thing, in some way. But I go, but never mind the charts coming up through his feet. Because then, you know, a friend of mine, we play, you know, everybody's got a role in the mystery play. You know, it's Gollum's overreaching that's essential for throwing the Ring of Power into the crack of doom. So I say to my friend, what's Grover's role? Remind me again. Grover's going to take down the military-industrial complex. And I go, really? And he goes, well, he's a nut about, you know, government and toxins and craziness and creepiness in the environment. But he's also, the positive nut thing is that he's also about military waste, you know. And we go, all right. So again, like politician whisperers, we go, no, over there. There you go, Grover, Rover. There you go. That's your weird degree. No, that's all. You can't even see that now. There you go, over there. So, also very important, on April 8th, Jupiter, god of stories, going backwards, appearing to move backwards right now, and the Earth straight up overhead, ruling the night sky, really glorious, in Leo theater. The true power of theater is healing. So it's retrograde, which is kind of inward, backstage. And then on April 8th, it stations at 12 degrees of Leo, resonant with the Uranus station of the winter solstice. Barack Obama's son is 12 degrees Leo. So I think we're all in this together. I mean, I'm the Caroline Casey part of you. You're the everything part of me. We're all in a dream. And one of the great, one of many ways to work with dreams is that everything in the dream is you. You know, and there's many ways to work, but it's really great. You know, Donna Graham, be praised, great dream coach. You know, I dreamed I ran into a friend outside my house. And she would say, when's the last time you saw that friend? Oh, gee, you know, 20 years ago in a class I was taking. I dreamed I saw a part of myself I hadn't spoken to in 20 years. Gets really interesting. You know, at a time when I was learning, you know, because it's all speaking to us. So the dream news, you know, we dreamed, again, to accept imaginative, metaphoric, creative, complicitous, experimental, playful, you know, whatever, responsibility for the whole thing, you know, and again, to create this in the memosphere. We dreamed the right-wing crazy, you know, Netanyahu part of ourselves was, you know, denying autonomy to the Palestinian part of ourselves. You know? Because once we put it in a metaphoric realm, we go, well, what altar would we create for that? And there, now we get to kitchen magic, women's magic, where everything is symbolic, the kind of Virgo magic that moves the big metaphors, the small thing that has a big effect. So, you know, if somebody's grumpy, you put a little drop of honey on top of them to sweeten their whatever. If somebody's behaving badly, you put a little thing, you know, going, oh, well, or you know, in Santeria, all magic is literalized metaphor. So I used to, I don't do this so much, but I used to, following Santero, late, great Marcelino Cruces, hello, you know, in which he said, if somebody's behaving badly, you write their name on a piece of paper and you put it in an ice cube tray and you put it in the freezer to cool them out. And it used to be my freezer was pretty full. But, you know, so you go, no, don't, not that ice cube tray, no, God, no. But every now and then you go, if you're good, I'll throw you in the river, you know. If you're, but again, would we accept that? If I were behaving badly, would I be okay with somebody, you know, putting me in the freezer, metaphorically? Yeah, sure, you know, okay. You know, and again, let those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. That's quite effective. You know, and again, it's the idea of calling in that which is wiser and more creative than us. You know, may it be, you know, this. You know, of forming a partnership that we're not solo, tragic, romantic, you know, genius. No, we're in a call and response relationship to everything. You know, again, everything alive. So Obama did this. You know, remember that Jupiter in astrology is luck and, you know, whatever. But it's also games, which is a fabulous mystery. You know, games used to be really important in a culture. It's how a culture passed on its values. It's two women 6 months apart, thousands of miles apart. One Native American woman in Wisconsin said, do you know Cat's Cradle, the string game? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, it's how we taught our children to enter the dream world. Again, focused reverie, complexity. And then I was working with great Maoris at a conference in New Zealand 6 months later, and a Maori elder woman said, you know Cat's Cradle? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, it's how we taught our children to enter the dream world. And I go, of course. You know, and the resilient child study, you know, proved that, you know, what are the people who make it out of really impossible situations, you know, born crack babies, you know, alcoholic parents, whatever. Who are the people who make it? And they found that it was somebody, in those people who made it, there was someone teaching that child a game. It apparently didn't matter what. But the game allowed them to travel, and it usually wasn't their parents. You know, it was a neighbor or a friend or a person in the park or, you know, whatever. So Obama did this genius thing against satire. You know, this hijinks. You know, many people, you know, and Obama, you know, focused on March Madness, the basketball thing, like, and then you have the finals, and then who wins there, and then they. So he created his own bracket of the worst climate change deniers, you know, and everyone, you know, pick, you know, and it's there's a great website, you know, but also it's got all the people there, and you can click on it, and all the incredibly stupid things they've said, and how you can call them out and encourage them to change, you know, and we got. And it's all right there. And anyway, genius. So I put that up, you know, and people were like, yeah, but what about the... And it's like, oh, stop! You know, God. Okay, so here's more good news. Learning a new word stimulates the same region of the brain as sex. Woohoo! we feel much better. So yes, language. We've done language. We've done blessings. Respect is the antidote to prejudice. I think this is again. Language is so revealing itself. Respect meaning re again. Spect to look at again. Prejudice means prejudging. You have an opinion before you've respected, before you've looked again, before you know somebody's story, and we never fully know somebody's story, you know. So if we throw prejudging into the cauldron and ladle out respect, or for Aretha Franklin, respect, really crucial. I love also, yes, Dr. Grimes, you helped me with this one too, because I was, you know, words that are prevalent. You know, people talk about impact investing. You know, this is a hip thing, and I go, all right. I mean, they're doing good, you know. Or impact this, or we really want to have an impact. And I go, really, you want a short-term kind of meteor hitting the earth kind of a thing, or do you want a long-term undulating response? You know, to set it. And you helped me, Doctor. Remember with the hyphen, the cunning use of hyphens with impact. Oh, okay. I'll help you. So
I've lost my prefrontal cortex.
That's okay. That's right. I have it right here. There you go. So he said, what did he say? He said if you put a hyphen in impact, you get impact. And I go, oh, much better. Much better. Oh, thank you. See, you're more of a genius than you remember. Impact.
Now I remember, yeah.
Take with you the cunning use of hyphens. Because also in diagnosis, you just put a hyphen in there and it just reveals and unfurls itself like a fantastic, beguiling, woof woof, you know, luscious thing. Diagnosis meaning, you know, a critique that invites in all gnosis wisdom. Oh, wonderful. This is really good. So we critique, we diagnose, we know we have a magic mirror. You know, secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, this sucks in detail. We got to do that. Wave of the hand, trickster turns mirror into window. Look how beautiful it could be. And that is the poet bards and the everyone reminding us and the yearning of the Middle East and all the beautiful indigenous poetry that reminds us of like whatever and the beautiful way that Idle No More is conducting itself by doing, you know, ceremonial invocation of power and wind gods and collaborating just right to take the lead and just right for Native women to be taking the lead at the climate march that was the last equinox. It was the last equinox, the opposite equinox right now, such a powerful gathering. And it reminds us, again, we're doing great good, right, even this night, remind us that we are proffered animation opportunities, but lest we animate them, they're available to the Dementors to animate for up to no good as well. You know, it was on this day, March 20th, Persian New Year, the vernal equinox, sacred to little baby lambs and all of life, that George W. Bush began bombing Iraq. And we go, ooh, see, if we don't animate it and go, no, George, drop the, you know, you got, we're putting you in the freezer. No, we're doing this over here. This is the thing. There we go. The Qahtani women, the Kurdish women in Qahtani who are influenced by Murray Bookchin, brilliant American anarchist writer. It's really intriguing, the Kurdish model of community as egalitarian between men and women is taking a hit, but is powerful and complex. And again, part of the complexity. They were fully hip to American empire, but they wanted American bombs because it kept Daesh, ISIS, you know, away. You know, so complex, very complex. Again, that's why we, when we don't know what to do, we go, well, we wonder, then what image do we animate? And it gets proffered to us, and again, experiment. So the Daesh, which is the real name for not ISIS or ISIL, they have a great fear of the women fighters because they think that if they're killed by a woman, they won't go to paradise. So the women are, you know, we're broadcasting going, we're going to get you. And I go, well, let's imagine, you know, backed up by Harmonia and Vajrayogini, you know, 60-foot powerful, you know, feminine deities rising up from the sand of the Middle East going, well, go learn permaculture, you guys. No. You know, again, you know, to animate this thing. And, you know, and what about music festivals evolving so that we actually do some good, you know, go to Vanuatu and clean things. I mean, we just all kinds of things are before us, you know, to wonder. And that brings us back to Mars and the initiation of Mars and desire. You know, and in fairy tales, you know, it's often the fairy tale character, when it's a state of not knowing where to live or where to be or where to whatever, they're, and a little iron ball appears, you know, and it's like, follow the iron ball, iron sacred to Mars. You know, and it said, the iron ball, you know, flows to the center of the fairy realm. It's the center of gravitation. It's the spiral and secrets of planets and beauty and symmetry. I'm quoting myself now. Thus, desire brings us into sync with the rhythm of the cosmos and makes us its heroic agents. Damn, good writing, Casey. God. So Mars as heroic protector, you know, again, all of that, you know, and the blessing of what we used to, forming alliances with what we used to not respect. The fabulous, you know, change of status of rats, for instance. Again, rats so smart and so interesting. Not in vast numbers, but reviled. But the rats are the greatest detectors of minds. And in African communities, they were better than dogs. So each African family in the village, you know, from reviling rats and whatever, had their own special rat. And the rat would go out in the day and find the mines, and then come back and be kind of praised, and they go, ooh, and be an honored member of the family. And they moved this to, I can't remember, you know, which country in South America were their mines, but there was a problem of hawks picking off the rats. So they began to raise each rat with a kitten that was its lifelong friend. And so the rat would go out into the field to detect the mines, and the cat would literally watch its back. We go, ooh, I love this thing. Again, all of nature so kind and willing to form ingenious and beguiling collaborations to alleviate the poisonous and toxic harm that we as a species have done. You know, and we go, all right, let's work with that. And then I'd had this in some pile, you know, for a long time. Rodent studies reveal powerful chemistry of paternity. And it's, again, rats and voles, and then extending into all kinds of little creatures. But they said that the longer a sperm donor, we used to be a sperm donor, is exposed to a pup, the more his brain becomes wired to nourish and nurture. And they said, you know, virgin males, you know, when introduced to a pup, go, my whole life has meaning. Let me help this, take care of this thing. And again, the actual kind of brain waves and the chemistry change into masculine nurturing. And the whole article is just fantastic. So it's, again, the expectant human dads produce higher levels of hormone responsible for breastfeeding right before birth. And then after birth, they're like, I'm done. But there was a study done also in the Midwest that men will lactate if nipples sucked on long. I mean, we all, I did crack up. I actually got Heldon Caldicott to laugh once by bringing this up, going, so if we just, you know, if men can learn to lactate, we can learn to have bees. And then she was like, oh, that's so great. Oh, now back to grimness. You know, But what they also found was, you know, voles and rats, you know, again, when exposed to pups, sometimes the men would midwife the birth, you know, and then they grab the baby and start licking it before it's even out. You know, we go, what a good idea. You know, again, when exposed to pups, experience a surge of hormones, you know, about tenderness and, you know, the so-called love hormone. We go, that's good. Again, inviting all those, you know, because if you look at, you know, ISIS and Taliban or whatever, those are motherless children. I mean, those are motherless, uninitiated populated Mars. Those are rogue elephants with no elders to guide them, and again, the Venusian model. But it says, you know, whatever onstage opportunity is afforded us, backstage reverie, well-wishing, blessing, beginning to reset the routine, so it's not, it's like, may it be. You know, not you know, again, not glossing, you know, may what you are truly hungry for, may it be fulfilled, may you become as kind as a virgin vole rat. You know, again, the more we play with. So anyway, the article's wonderful, but I can't read the print. Okay, so it's Henry Beston who says we access the best aspects of our Mars through our alliance with our animal friends. No, actually, that's me. Never mind. We access the best aspects of our Mars through our alliance with our animal friends. In a pact of mutual evolution, they help us to reclaim our innate Mars enthusiasm and curiosity about the natural world, and in turn, we give them our collaborative love. Henry Beston says, gifted with extensions we have lost or never attained, living by voices we may never hear, animals are not underlings. They are other nations caught with ourselves in the net of life and time. We'll go, ah. So our finale for democratic animism, and this comes from, again, told often Lakota elders saying we didn't hunt alone. Those gifted would go into reverie and trance and broker deals with wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. If you want to destroy a culture, destroy its capacity for reverie, it's like string games, entering into the dream world to speak with the dream parts of the animals and to backstage work out a harmonious deal for creation, and then have it be implemented. The visible and the invisible, the equal night and day, the equal Mars and Venus, the equinox right now. You know, so you know, we're inhaling and we go, okay, everything, come on back in, culture of reciprocal blessing. You know, let us be artists of atmosphere to create an atmosphere where the desirable can take place. You know, using all of our skills and affinities. You know, each one of us has gifts being unlocked now. You know, and Rumi says, you know, according to Robert Bly, you know, your depression is caused by your inability to praise. A man who is depressed as a thief and steals from God every moment. You know, and then when we post that on Facebook, go, that's very mean to depress people. It's like, oh, it's just one thought, for God's sake, you know, compost. You know, but see, it's an interesting trick then, too, because I can get harumphy about somebody else being harumphy, going, oh, got me. Okay, anyway, but foiled. You know, again, but there we go. But so, you know, again, we're spiraling out a kind of atmosphere, a well-wishing. So I often say, you know, all war is a failure of imagination. The corollary is all peace is a triumph of imagination. You know, again, imagining, reimagining kinship, fully informed of the direness of now and what's been set in motion, but again, willing to play. So we say envisioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative accord. By envisioning it, we're inviting it. You know, and in many science fiction books, again, we like that. And this is kind of part of now through April 8th, just for the fun of it, you know, and then ongoing. But right now, we're backstage in storyland, going, what is the desirable story? What is the desirable guiding world story? You know, and to be able to animate that in journals and in conversations and whatever. And then around April 8th, we want to kind of pull the story switch and have that story pour and infiltrate the molecules of this one, liberating everyone into an expanded repertoire of possibilities and being surprising even to ourselves, which is really what Uranus transits are about. So, yes, many things coming in. Again, just remember, magnetize and animate. It's the Venus and the Mars together. We magnetize and we animate it. You know, and dedication magnetizes the opportunity. So, Maestro, with however you can guide us, I see you're studying. That's excellent. Wonderful Bill Stain's song, All God's Critters. Anybody know All God's Critters? Well, you will. You will soon. It's a call and response kind of thing. But again, it is our spiraling into the memosphere, our willingness to collaborate with the ingenuity of all plants and animals and ingenious and the gods of the ocean. I mean, everything that exists has a presiding deity. And that's part of the wonderful, witty, and profound animation that Terry Pratchett brought to the world. So All right.
Well, so right here, you know, this is literal. It is. It's springtime and enormous, vast energies of renewal and creativity and resurrection is in all of us available. And I did sing this a year and a half ago here, and at that time I remembered all the words. But since that time, I've been, as the song goes, I've been warped by the rain, driven by sleet, had my head stove in, but I'm still on my feet, and I'm still willing. But I have to read the words tonight.
Thank
so,
you,
oh,
thank you very much. You're, I have to go. I live in the South Bay.
Oh, okay. It's just 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Oh, you can stomp your feet in the back. Okay. All right. Speed it up, my sir.
Okay.
Cut to the chase.
So the chorus is, thank you, Bill Staines.
Yes.
All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wires, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, all God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, listen to the bass. It's the part on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. And the old cow just goes, mrow. The dogs and the cats, they take up the middle while the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays and the pony neighs and the old coyote howls. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wires. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, listen to the top where the little birds sing on the melodies with the high notes are ringing. The hoot owl hollers over everything and the jaybird disagrees. Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day. The little duck quacks and she's on her way. The possum ain't got much to say and the porcupine talks to himself. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wires, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. It's a simple song of living sung everywhere by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the grumpy alligator and the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the turtle dove, the turtle dove. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, all God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got.
No. Hey. Thank you. Thank you, David Grimes. And here's Coyote Blessing Hair for everybody. Thank you all for doing this good work. Thank you, team. Thank you, David Lynn Grimes. Thank you, everybody. I'm Caroline Casey thanking you. Hey, woof, 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 woof. Woof. Go forth and be woofy.